Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have all of you worshiping with us this morning. If you're a visitor or a guest, we're especially glad you're here and hope you feel welcome. At this time, I'd encourage members and visitors alike to sign the friendship pads, which are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign them and pass them to your neighbors so you can greet any new faces by name during the piece or after worship. At this time, I'd call your attention to the bulletin. We have some announcements and the inside cover and a calendar of upcoming events for the life of the church near the back. And there are a few announcements I'd like to highlight for you this morning before I open it up to all of you. The first of which is please do plan on staying for a couple of things. This afternoon, we'll have a congregational meeting immediately following worship to hear a report from the nominating committee and a report on my terms of call. That'll be just a couple of minutes, and then you are all invited by the stewardship team for a lunch upstairs in Hollis Hall, and that will begin immediately following the meeting. So we thank you all for your patience this morning, and we hope to feed you as well. So I hope that's a good inducement to stay. The stewardship team is hosting lunch because it is the beginning of stewardship season today. You might have received in the mail a pledge card. It looks something like this, and there are more out on the table in the commons. This is a time in the life of our church where we all prayerfully consider our gifts and our contributions, whatever form those may take, and you'll hear a little bit more about that later from the stewardship team, but we do hope you have received one of these and will make this a part of your contribution to the church, and we will receive commitments on Commitment Sunday in 2 weeks. The last announcement is that there are a number of upcoming Christian education opportunities to keep a look out for. One will begin this Wednesday mornings at the Oakwood Cafe at 7:30. There will be a small group meeting to discuss John Calvin's Institutes. So if you'd like to read a little theology and meet with friends, come join with us beginning this Wednesday morning. Now I'd invite any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church. We have one from a visitor, yes. Thank you, Smitty. We always enjoy having Smitty Barnett with us in worship to lead us with music, and hope you can consider coming to the concert. When is it, Smitty?
Thursday, November 9th.
Thursday the 9th. Are there others? Let us join together and worship God and begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
Please stand for the call to worship. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for.
The conviction of things not seen.
By faith, our ancestors received approval.
By faith, we understand that the words were prepared by the word of God.
By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out. By faith, Jacob blessed each of the sons of Joseph.
By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses,
let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely.
And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame.
And has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God.
And let us pray. God of love, as in Jesus Christ you gave yourself to us, so may we give ourselves to you. Keep our feet firmly in the way where Christ leads. Let our mouths speak the truth that Christ teaches, and fill our lives with the life that is Christ within us. Sharing in the same spirit, bind our hearts as one in worship and in praise. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you.
may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins to God, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. Holy God, you speak and we listen. You call and we answer. You lead and we follow. Yet sometimes we hold back. We don't always listen. We don't always trust. Sometimes we protect ourselves from the uncertainty of the way. Forgive us, Lord. Make us open to what's new, to risk, to venture, to journey. Make us open to love neighbors and strangers. Give us the compassion to be moved by the world's longing. And give us the imagination of hope as we follow Jesus into the world. We pray all this in his name. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning. How are y'all this morning? You got here so fast. You did. You got here before me, but we're going to try something a little bit different today, okay? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Come follow me. Let's go. Got a little distracted on the way. That's okay. You're almost there. Come on, let's sit on these steps. You did a great job. You followed directions so well. In a little bit, in this church, we're going to hear a story about a time that Jesus was walking on the beach and he saw some fishermen. And he wanted them to come follow him and learn about God. So what do you think he said to them? Come with me, follow me. Exactly what I did. I went over there and I said, follow me. And we came over here and you did such a good job. And that's exactly what Jesus wants his disciples to do. We're going to hear a story. They were fishing. They had jobs. They had busy things they needed to do. But Jesus looked at each one of them and said, come follow me. And they dropped everything they were doing and they went and followed him. So that's one of the things we do in church is we try to figure out ways that we can follow God. Can you think of some ways that we can follow God or do what Jesus asks us?
Do what he says.
To do what he says? Yeah, that's a good way. What kinds of things does Jesus ask us to do?
Listen.
To listen, that's a good one.
And be good.
And be good? These are great answers.
Be kind,
be nice to people,
and share,
help other people, love other people. And so we come here each week so we can learn how Jesus is teaching us to live. And so thank you for showing everyone what it means in a very simple way, but a very important way to follow Jesus. Will you have a prayer with me? All right, let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for Jesus and the call to follow. Help us to listen, to love, and to serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, stay here for just a minute. We're going to dismiss you with our blessing. And as we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here. Great job.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first reading this morning comes from the first book of Thessalonians, chapter 2. Listen for God's word. You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
This week begins our three-week series of Stewardship Sundays with the theme, Follow Me. Throughout the gospel, Jesus calls disciples to different kinds of work. He calls them away from what is normal and familiar, and he challenges them to do the harder work of following him. There's no shortage of call stories in the Bible. All the great prophets and kings and figures of faith in the history of Israel, they all have this moment with God when they realize their lives are about to change. It's the same for Peter in our story today called Simon, one of Jesus' first disciples. Our sermon series then will be following the journey of Peter through three important calls in his life. When he first followed Jesus, his confession of faith is in Jesus as Lord and Messiah, and his deeper call to follow the risen Jesus during the season of Easter. For short, we'll call these stories beginning, middle, and end. And these stories will give us hints of what a life of faith looks like, how it begins, how it deepens, how it ripens into something that bears fruit. Through the story of Peter's journey, we'll discover what Jesus is saying when he calls, "Follow me." Here is the beginning, the story of Peter. From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, listen for God's word to you. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. God, you call us here so that we can hear a word from you. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Give us words of challenge, words of comfort, a word for our life to guide us along the way of faith. We ask in the name of the one who calls, Jesus Christ. Amen. It happens at dawn. It's the beginning of the day. It's the change between the third and the first shift. This is when Jesus first calls Peter and his brother Andrew. Have you ever noticed on weekday mornings how the traffic on Walnut is a lot worse during the 7 o'clock hour than it is around 9? My only guess is that this is the end of the third shift and close to the beginning of the first. So some people are on their way home ready for rest, ready at the end of a long day. Others have coffee in hand, hoping to make it to work on time. The day changes for everyone at this hour. I say this in reference to Peter because Jesus sees him casting a net into the sea, which is a task for the nighttime, while John and James down the beach are mending nets, which is a daytime chore for fishermen. Jesus calls the disciples right in the change of their day. They expect to do something different soon. They just don't have any idea how different they're going to be. Others are beginning their work anew. Some are going home to rest. This is the beginning of faith at the beginning of the day. Jesus walks down the beach with a simple command that changes everything. Your story has a beginning too. There was a time in your life when God called you, welcomed you into the life of faith in the arms of the church, even if you don't remember it. It could have been with your parents holding you as a small child in front of the congregation, making promises on your behalf to raise you in faith while a pastor covered you in baptismal waters. Maybe it was during a Sunday school class when you learned the stories of Jesus and started to think about what it meant for you to follow. Maybe it happened a little later in high school or college. A friend invited you to church, and all of a sudden your perspective on things started to change. Maybe you got married. You decided that you wanted God to be with you in that journey too. Or maybe it was when you had kids and you wanted them to grow up in a place where their lives could acquire meaning and purpose and a sense of love that only comes from God and a God-formed community. Maybe one day something hit you like a lightning strike and you knew you were being called into a deeper way of life. All of these are beginnings. All of these are ways that people start to follow Jesus in earnest. For Peter, it was probably more this last one, the lightning strike. He was from Israel, which means he grew up with the stories of faith in the tradition of Abraham and Moses and David. He knew that God often intervened in the lives of ordinary people to make change in the world, but maybe he didn't expect to be one of those people. Peter was a fisherman, but we figure that one day he wrote a couple of New Testament epistles, or at least his disciples did, so it was possible he had picked up a few letters along the way. And so often we imagine the disciples as illiterate Galilean peasants, and this obstacle to their success of their mission later in life is taken as confirmation of the great and irresistible power of God in light of the material that God was working with. But we know that Peter was probably intelligent and hardworking. And with help from the Spirit of God, he had the ability to preach and inspire and organize a church. And down the beach, we see James and John with their father Zebedee mending nets. They have hired men working, which means they probably have a measure of success and stability in their own life. They're not wealthy, they're not famous, but they're doing okay. Maybe we can think of the disciples as some ancient world equivalent of middle class. They're ordinary people doing their best ordinary work that they can. And if you ask them about their lives, they would probably say they're in good shape. They're not really in the market for any kind of change or change in career. Maybe they'd complain about their taxes from the Romans, but I'm willing to guess that at no point in history have people not complained about their taxes. Fishermen are no different, but they're doing okay. Peter even has a boat. And if you walked up and down the beach and asked each fisherman whether they were willing to change and follow this wandering preacher, they probably would give you a funny look. They're not looking for a career change. They're fishermen. Their fathers were fishermen. Their grandfathers were fishermen. They lived in a fishing village. If their high school had a football team, it would probably be the Fighting Fishermen. These aren't people looking for a career change. These are people with families and bills working through the ordinary course of an ordinary life. This is when Jesus calls and changes everything. Jesus comes up to Peter and says, "Follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately, Peter, here called Simon, and his brother get up and they follow Jesus. Like I said, it's the lightning strike approach. Commentators have pointed out that Mark's favorite word from Jesus in the gospel seems to be immediately. Mark is the shortest gospel, so every story carries a tinge of urgency. The word immediately appears 59 times in the New Testament. 41 of those times are in the Gospel of Mark. Drop your nets. There is not a moment to lose. Peter's story suggests a force of words, of Jesus' words, which make an immediate claim on him and his life. He is no longer just ordinary Peter. He was not looking for a change, so it's only the call of Jesus that can redirect his life so radically. And the rest of Jesus' life, the rest of Peter's life, is spent figuring out exactly what this call, what this command, "Follow me," actually means. So every story has a beginning, and this is Peter's. He dropped what was his and gave his life to following Jesus. Our call is the same. The only reason that any of us are here in some special personal way is because we've heard those words directed at us. And this call isn't the end of faith. Our goal isn't to be saved and quit and be done with it. It's not to go out and save people either so that they come to church. And that's not actually what Jesus directs his followers to do. Later in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells his followers to go out and make disciples. And being a disciple of Jesus means more than just a one-time commitment. It's a way of life spent in light of the living God who calls us. And the work of faith comprises every chapter of our story, beginning, middle, and end. The beginning looks like Peter today. All of a sudden, his gifts, his talents, his vocation, everything he has belongs to Jesus. He was a fisherman, now he fishes for people. Practically, this means that the rest of his life will be spent following in the footsteps of the one who called him. And that call looks different, just as each of us look different. It looks different for the singer in the choir, or the teacher, or the person with a passion for mission. It looks different for the person who can lead a Bible study and the person who can change an air filter. All of these things can be footsteps in the way of following Jesus. One of the challenges for us then is that for a long time, churches have talked about faith as something one time and static. If you have faith, if you believe, you will be saved. If you answer that one question of faith, you will have all the internal resources you need to face every challenge, and you will never doubt, and everything will go swimmingly for the rest of your days, right? Of course, life has more ups and downs than that. And you may feel like you've been saved on Tuesday when your job is going well and your kids have a good day at school, and the things that you're doing that day feel purposeful and meaningful. It may not feel like you're saved on a day when you're putting fires out at work and you have to call the plumber for a burst pipe at home and you get a call from the school nurse about a sick kid while you're on your way to your root canal and the car starts to make a funny noise. Sometimes weather makes as big a change in our lives as anything. So this isn't the kind of salvation we're talking about here, not the simplistic one-time version, not even the great gift of love we receive that we are bought at a price. But this is the life of faith, even in the difficult points. It's the everyday living that through concrete practices of faith over time, over the course of years, directs you down the way of following Jesus so that your life is lived fully in the presence of God. Peter's life had these ups and downs too, but it was spent following Jesus so relentlessly that over time he was the one preaching and teaching and healing and exhibiting the kingdom of God. All it took was for him to begin, to take those first few footsteps of faith on the day when Jesus said, "Follow me." I love stewardship season because it's an opportunity for us to think about those footsteps of faith and the ways that we're following God in our own lives. And traditionally, I know it's a pretty dry part of the year. It's like turning on the radio and hearing the NPR annual campaign, and so you just turn it off again. But I hope that a critical consideration of our own lives of faith in light of the calling of God might be beneficial, that in thinking about Peter's beginning, we can think about our own first footsteps too. So what does it look like? What does it look like when you first answer that call of Jesus? It means thinking about how your work fits into the work of God. Could be at your place of business. The church isn't the only place that we do God's work. But it could mean a different kind of contribution to the church, a gift of your time to a new activity, a gift of your imagination to help us think about ways that we can better serve. This is an opportunity to take those first steps. Or it could be time to think about your faith in a new way, to try a new spiritual practice. You might not have the prayer life of a saint, but all saints started somewhere. Even if it was just reading a psalm in the morning or saying a quick prayer before you go to bed. One time, these things are beneficial, but over time, they are step by step a life spent following Jesus. If you haven't tried anything like that before, maybe it's time to start. Giving is another way to begin. If you have been giving to church for years, you already know this. It's an important way of participating in the work of God through this congregation. how you connect in a meaningful way so that you feel like you have a stake in what goes on here, and you do. So if you haven't given before or you haven't pledged, consider that these are some of the first footsteps of faith we make in following Jesus. Because the truth is, everything we have belongs to God. And it returns to God piece by piece, step by step. Every life of faith has its beginning. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. For the past weeks, our stewardship team has been hard at work thinking of ways to engage the congregation in question just like this: how do we follow in the way of Jesus? And to begin to talk about those first steps, I'd like to welcome Sally Brand on our stewardship team for our moment for stewardship today.
It is no coincidence the church focuses on stewardship during the traditional harvest time. The analogy is perfect. When a farmer gathers his crops from the field, he can measure the season's bounty. The farmer knows he did not make the sun shine or the rain fall, so that harvest is viewed with thanksgiving as a gift. This church has been given an abundance of gifts and talents throughout the membership. Stewardship season lets us take an inventory and measure our bounty. The stewardship committee decided to approach this inventory in a different manner. When you enter Hollis Hall for the lunch, which follows the worship service, you will notice four large posters. They provide a display of most of the jobs which take place on any given Sunday, those jobs which are carried out weekly or monthly or on an occasional basis. Each job also has the current list of volunteers who perform these tasks, or in some cases, no list, as this is something new. This display allows a twofold opportunity. As you take a personal inventory of how you spend your time and talents, you may not have a desire to continue as a volunteer for a certain job. If that is so, cross your name off that list. It's okay to make a change. The session changes every year. Also, if you are happy doing what you have been doing, leave your name alone. But as you look over the display of opportunities, you may be interested in trying something new. You might want to join one of the teams whose membership is listed on a poster. You might want to work with a particular group of people or explore a new activity being offered. Your signature means that you are interested in continuing or trying something for the calendar year 2018. You are not signing your life away. After today, these posters will be displayed in the Commons for two more weeks. So take your personal inventory and see where you desire to give the gifts of your time and talents for 2018.
Thank you, Sally, and thank you to our stewardship team. And as we all consider the ways that God has called us, let us stand and confirm our faith in the words of our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. In prayerful acknowledgement and consideration of all that we have received from God, let us return to God our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
You may be seated. The God who calls us in the way of Jesus calls us to this table too. Here we receive the grace and love prepared for us, find food for our lives so that we can go out and follow Jesus into the world. So come, all you who are carrying heavy burdens, and Jesus Christ will give you rest. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks, God of creation. From the beginning of all things, you made a world and filled it with your children. When people turned aside from you, you called prophets to lead them back in your way. You led Abraham, the father of nations, into your friendship. You led the children of Jacob out of slavery in Egypt into the promised land of covenant love. You created a people, Israel, so that all the nations of the world would be blessed through them. For so great a love, for so great a promise, we join our voices with brothers and sisters gathered around your table throughout the world and gathered around your throne in heaven above, who sing to the glory of your name. Blessed are you, Holy God, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, who in the fullness of time took on flesh, a light to the nations, good news to all people. Through his birth and life, his death and resurrection, through his reign on high, we confess him Lord of your creation and all your people. We thank you for the gift of his Spirit, who calls us into this community, who unites us in Christ's body, the Church, who gathers us to this table to share in the life of Christ our Lord. Remembering your great and loving kindness, we take this bread and wine from the gifts you have given us, and we celebrate with joy the hope that all people share in Jesus Christ our Redeemer. Accept our sacrifice of prayer and thanksgiving, especially on behalf of those who have no bread to share, or those who throughout the world are strangers to your covenant love. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be for us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Teach us to give as it has been given to us, to love as you have loved us, and to recognize the humanity we share with all our brothers and sisters, the humanity we share with Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray in his holy name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Drink of it, all of you." For so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God.
Oh,
Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled." We invite you to come forward and partake. Let us pray. Holy God, for this meal, for your Son and your Spirit, for the body of your Son broken and his life poured out, we give you thanks. We ask your blessing upon us that we who have received would go out bearing his image, following in his way to the glory of your name. These and all our prayers we offer through Christ our Lord, who is with us in that same spirit, teaching us to pray as he taught all his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you to remain for the congregational meeting, which follows immediately after the postlude and then lunch. So go, and wherever you go, follow in the way of Jesus Christ and find your life with him. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.